question, so that you know who from the department is here. And I see Deputy Minister is here. Maybe you are leading the delegation. Can I request you to guide the process?
Chair, yes, thanks. Look, it's for the, there's a number of, well, there's people here for judicial matters, there's people here for criminal procedure. I think Ms. Ross is for both or just judicial, okay.
Okay, they can introduce themselves and then indicate what they're here for.
Okay, so maybe the three can starting with him.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Thank you. I am here for the criminal procedure commitment of
Chair, I'm Senator Ross, also from the Department of Justice, and I'm here for the Judicial Matters Amendment Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I'm Saul Robertson, the Department of Justice.
Thank you very much. Can I then, therefore, do you want to do any form of introduction, Deputy Minister Jeffries?
Chair, thanks. Look, the issue with the Criminal Procedure Amendment Bill, which I think the committee has been considering for some time and looking at broader issues, but there is this constitutional court deadline for the bill to be passed by Parliament, which is end of June, 24th or thereabouts of June. And it was really whether the committee, I mean, we have had informal discussions, whether the committee can't approve the bill with amendments. As you know, the bill was advertised for public comment. Nobody wants to come for public hearing, but there were written submissions. Effectively, apart from technical amendments, there was one amendment which the which we were supporting, and the rest are basically technical. But it was then really a request that can the committee not adopt the bill as amended, and so that it can then be set down for plenary, because also the problem of plenaries during this session, we're going to be mainly sitting in ETCs.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. The comments are noted. Can we then ask the department to take us through the amendment before adoption?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, if you look at the documents that we have supplied to the committee, with the heading draft of portfolio committee amendments, criminal procedure and technical, then I would like to quickly take you through the document itself. On page 2 of the document, you will recall that we have indicated that one of the terms, namely mental defect or the replaced with intellectual disability, that has already been done in the bill itself. But in the long cycle of the bill, we neglected to do that. So the first proposed amendment then is in the long cycle of the bill, in order for that defect mistake to be corrected there to reflect the contents of the bill correctly. The under clause 1, numbers 1, 2, the first two are more of a technical and consequential nature. The important one is on page 3 of the bill itself, in line 21. Lines 14 and 15. The Constitutional Court actually indicated that it is permissible to detain a person in a correctional facility where he or she presents a danger to him or herself or to members of the public. What we have done was to propose that the danger to property belonging to the person, him or herself, or anyone else, should also be included. However, we have been alerted to the fact that that is not in line with the Constitutional Court's judgment, so we would like to propose that that portion referring to any property belonging to the accused person or the other person should then be omitted from the bill itself. And then the next substantial one is then number 5 under clause 1. Now, you will note, Madam Chair, that the court will be empowered after the amendment of the Act to order the release exception that was brought to our attention, and that is the position of a child who might be in the need of care and protection. So we have drafted the proposed amendment, which is reflected now under number 5. We have also consulted the Centre for Child Law, Professor Anne Skelton, and she was in agreement with the proposed amendment and the wording thereof. The remainder of the proposed amendments under clause 1 is once again of a technical and consequential nature. I could possibly indicate to you that under number 7 on the second page of the draft amendment, we propose that the wording where the court has found that the accused has not committed any offence in line 34 in place should be omitted. Once again, we were advised that that proviso or condition is not in line with the Constitutional Court's judgment. And then also, if we look at similar wording in section 78, then the two provisions will then also be in line with each other. On page 3 at the top of the draft amendments, you will once again see the reference to children. And then in clause 2, we propose the amendments which are similar to those that we have already covered. In other words, on page 4 in lines 58 and 9, to omit the words or to any property belonging to the accused person or any other person. And then we also find under number 4 the reference to children. And then also under number 6, the very last proposed amendment, once again, the reference to children. Madam Chair, that in short there is the proposed amendments to the bill.
Thank you, Mr.
Dickley,
for taking the amendments. Can I then at this stage request for adoption by members? Any non-members? Thank you, Honorable Bongo. Second, Honorable Bumwaj. Thank you very much. Okay. The DA is reserving his position. We will then proceed with the adoption. Thank you. That then brings us to the end of business of the Criminal Procedures Amendment Bill. Deputy Minister.
Chair, just this one issue, which is that usually the committee has a position whether it wants a debate on a bill or not, whether it just wants declarations. And maybe you could just consider that issue. I'm not entirely sure what you would debate on this bill, but just due to raise that point.
For intents and purposes, there's nothing to debate on, but maybe declarations. This is what Honorable Swart is actually suggesting. Anybody with any other idea? Okay, if you're not deciding today, we're deciding for you now because we're in committee. So Honorable Swart has suggested that we have declarations. Thank you. That brings us to the end of this business.
Yeah, just to check, so the bill then officially, no. Okay.
What I'm advised is that maybe because there is a dissenting voice for us to vote on it, so that we can see how many have voted for, how many against. Okay. Can you then show it by raise of hand? With Member Mashile and Kumede co-opted for the ANC. Thanks. Favour, can you show it by hand?
Before we vote, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I think it's not in keeping with the traditions of this portfolio committee to vote. I think this is a new, this a new thing that you can introduce. Let's rather be moved by the strength of the argument made by members, rather than to be moved by who's got the most votes. So
maybe you have not been part of some of the voting that has historically taken place in this committee. We normally do so. But if the members feel that there is no need to vote, then we just carry the adoption through. It's still fine.
No objection, Chair.
Chair, there's been no objection indicated to the bill. There's just been a reservation of position.
So we should just proceed and,
yes,
and take the bill as adopted. Thank you. That actually ends the business of the Criminal Procedures Amendment Bill. Thank you. We now get into the next business, which is submission on the Judicial Matters Amendment Bill 2016. Can I hand over to the department? Maybe start with the Deputy Minister for introduction.
Chair, I think we're having public hearings on the matter. We've got a response.
Oh, this is public hearings.
Yes, I think so. I gather the one grouping present, but I'm not. But you've got your program of public hearings. After that, I think the department will then respond to the written submissions that were made.
Okay. Thank you for the introduction. I am informed that we have rape crisis this afternoon to do a submission. Can I hand over to you to present it?
This is a joint submission by the Rape Crisis Cape Town Trust, represented by myself, Sean Whittingstein, and my colleague Bronwyn Pithy from the Women's Legal Centre, to which I will hand over at a later stage. Maybe I can just mention that we will only make submissions in relation to Section 37 of the proposed bill. And I just want to make sure if everyone has a copy of the submission. So maybe I can just start with some introduction and context to our submission. The crime statistics released yearly by SAPS showed that a shocking number of 51,000 sexual offences cases, more than, were reported during the period of 2015 to 2016. If we take into account that those are only the reported cases, and that research shows that as one in every 13 cases get reported, that means that it's possible that well over 600,000 rape and sexual offences matters occurred in that period alone. The only way to address this is through a strong and specialized criminal justice system that provides an adequate deterrent to rapists, as well as to the perpetrators of other sexual offenses. These sentiments were also expressed in the preamble to the Criminal Law, Sexual Offenses and Related Matters Act. And for the convenience of this committee meeting, we will refer to SORMA in future. And that really echoes the principle that the victims of sexual offences should get the maximum protection offered by a criminal justice system, that court, and that this should be during the course of the trial, but also during the course of their engagement with the criminal justice system. The trauma that they experience during this process, whether it is through meeting with the prosecutor, whether it is through examination, cross-examination in trial, should be minimized as far as possible. If this does not happen, the chances of achieving convictions will be seriously affected and seriously reduced. So in 2012, the Ministerial Advisory Task Team on the Adjudication of Sexual Offences Matters were established and released a report in 2013 on the re-establishment of sexual offences courts. This task team consisted of researchers and specialists in the field. Mainly, the report recommended that sexual offences courts dealing exclusively with sexual offences matters have contributed in the past to the efficient prosecution of cases. This is because these courts offer specialised services, specialised personnel, and specialised infrastructure. So, there is less secondary trauma to the survivor giving testimony. It also means that skilled personnel are able to support and assist the survivor when the survivor has to testify in an extremely difficult situation, and they are specialists in prosecuting this area of the law. The processing times for these cases have shown in the past to be a lot quicker because it's done by specialists in the field and because a dedicated court clerk is appointed to manage the flow of cases and the administration in that courtroom. The report also found that the legal framework for sexual offences must provide for the progressive realisation of specialised court services. And this is specifically to honour South Africa's obligation to the victims of sexual offences and victims of rape. This report unequivocally recommended the re-establishment of sexual offences courts to the maximum of the state's resources and using all appropriate means, including legislation. So the principle of having dedicated specialist courts is imperative. There is also mention of hybrid courts in the report, but these emerged as a practice, and the report refers to them purely as an interim measure, with these courts being converted into dedicated sexual offences courts over time. Priority is unfortunately not always given to sexual offences courts, to sexual offences cases in these hybrid courts. So there was a realisation that legislation and a legal framework is needed to provide for these courts. And as a result, the Minister of Justice then recommended to the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor that the sexual offences courts must be authorised by enabling legislation. Therefore, the Judicial Matters Amendment Act 43 of 2013 really aimed to include for the provision of exclusive dedicated sexual offences courts by making provision in Section 55A to SORMA to include this provision for the purpose of hearing sexual offences matters and providing the necessary legal framework. We submit that this formulation of Section 55A, which was inserted into SORMA by the Judicial Matters Amendment Act, gives effect to the recommendation made by the Master Report and as accepted by the Minister. Unfortunately, this law has not been brought into operation, although it has already been passed in 2013. We note our concern in the delay because it really detracts from the commitment and the promise that the Minister made to the survivors of sexual offences in South Africa to provide on a progressive basis sexual offences courts to see that justice is done in those cases. And by delaying this, it has undermined also the intention of Parliament to create dedicated sexual offences courts across the country. This delay has amounted in abandoning survivors of rape and sexual offences and not providing a criminal justice system that will ensure higher conviction rates, ensure less secondary trauma, and ultimately and act as a deterrent to perpetrators of sexual offences. I will now give over to my colleague Bronwyn Pitty from the Women's Legal Centre to discuss specifically the proposed bill.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair, to the committee for providing us with the opportunity to make a presentation today. And thanks, obviously, to Jean for sketching the background to the provisions that are before us and were in the previous piece of legislation, which is now being sought to be amended. Section 37 of the bill wants to amend Section 35A of SORMA, and for us the most important aspect of the amendment relates to the word exclusively. The current act as it stands, which was brought into effect by the previous Judicial Matters Amendment Act of 2013, very clearly says that sexual offences courts must be established to hear sexual offences matters exclusively. And this new bill seeks to remove that word and, in our submission, effectively waters down the effect of having sexual offences courts. We also say that it directly, as John has said, it directly undermines the intentions behind the ministerial report. It undermines the acceptance by the minister of the report. And this committee sat with the previous bill, passed it into an act, amended SORMA, and now seeks to, well, the department is now bringing new formulation on a bill that has already been considered by this committee. The explanation note to the bill raises a number of concerns, raises a number of issues that were raised as concerns, and this bill now seeks to address those concerns. And it's our submission that the concerns that have been raised can be addressed without the removal of the word exclusively. So the first concern that was raised is that the bill does not empower the minister to designate a courtroom, but only a court. And we agree that the current formulation does indeed do that. But the proposed formulation, with its amendment, deals with that issue, and there is no need to remove the word exclusively to achieve that aim. So we could still have a situation where the minister has the authority or the power to designate a courtroom without removing the word exclusively. The second concern is that the minister is limited as to where a sexual offences court can be established. Again, the amendment proposed in the bill already remedies this, and again, to remove the word exclusively is not the cause of the problem, or the presence of the word exclusively is not the cause of the problem, and there's no need for its removal. This issue, I think, is probably the most pertinent as to why concerns have been raised around this bill, that it's not practical for our courts to deal exclusively with sexual offences because court time must be managed. And I think this is the issue that the judiciary have raised, that if you have a court that hears the sexual offences matters exclusively, you may have situations where matters for that particular court roll on that day have been finalised, they've been finished, or the court roll falls through, and on that basis, that court should be able to draw matters from other courts. Our submission on this is firstly that you could, if one has proper case flow management through the judiciary, that could mitigate this against this concern. But the other issue is that if you don't have a enough sexual offences matters to justify a full court roll, there are very practical issues that can be put in place. For example, in a smaller centre, you may have sexual offences, or you may have a court that sits as a sexual offences court for 2 or 3 days of the week, and the other days you can sit as a non-sexual offences court. But the idea is to have, on particular days, that matters that only concern sexual offences are on that roll for that day. And I think the reasons behind that have been fully motivated and explained in the report around the reduction of secondary victimisation. There are many reasons, and it's probably relatively trite to go through all of those reasons, and I'm sure as members of this committee are very well aware of those issues. The other issue, just in terms of the concern of these courts, which are well equipped in terms of CCTV systems, use of intermediaries, that there may be a concern that there may be other cases that need these facilities. The amendment to the bill, I may be jumping a little bit, but it may be useful just to say it here. The amendment of the bill allows for the DPP to use his or her discretion for those facilities used in other cases, non-sexual offences cases. So, for example, if there is a child who is a witness to a murder and if there is a need for the use of a CCTV system, you could use the DPP may allocate that case to that court for that particular purpose. And that discretion is taken care of in the proposed amendments. The issue that has been raised by the judiciary, and I think the reality is that there are a number of people within the judiciary that are not willing to sit in these courts full time. And I think that's where a lot of the resistance to making courts exclusively sexual offences comes from. But practically, this has actually been addressed in various senses, where you can have a rotation of magistrates over periods of time. You can have them sit there for 6 months or for a period of a year. That obviously does give rise to some issues around parenthood matters, but if the role is managed properly, this can be dealt with. And also, we believe that as a specialised area, this could be used as an aspect around leadership, around specialisation, which I think is something that a lot of areas of the judiciary are developing at the moment. We are, again, just to reiterate, to remove the word exclusively, even if you add the provision that these cases must be prioritised, with respect, that does not practically happen. So if I could just give you a practical example. If you have a sexual offences court that is sitting exclusively listening to sexual offences, but it allows for the drawing of other cases, so in other words, a hybrid role. You could have sex offences in the morning, you then have a non-sexual offence case in the afternoon, a murder case, for example. The chances that that murder case will be finalised that day is minimal. It will become a part heard, which means at a later stage, that magistrate sitting in that sexual offences court will have to hear that murder case. And on the day that that murder case is heard, it means that a sexual offence matter is not being heard. So again, you're sitting with a court role on that particular day where sexual offences are not being prioritised. So we believe that this hybrid, the idea of a hybrid court, and that's the reality if you don't have an exclusive court. If you have a hybrid court, it compromises the specialised nature of sexual offences courts. So our recommendations, there are a number of other issues that we raise in our submission, but I think these are the most important. We submit that you don't pass Section 37A of the amendment bill, other than the issues that we've agreed on that deal with things like a courtroom as opposed to a court and the ability for the DPP to use those facilities in particular issues. And then the very big issue is that this piece of legislation, when it was originally passed in 2013, is 4 years ago. And sexual offences matters has been identified as a priority for this government. And 4 years later, we're still waiting for the formalisation of these courts. I suspect that the department may say that these courts are being rolled out, but the reality is that the research of MATSO and the Chief Law Advisor recognise that unless you have a legislative framework for these courts, the actual implementation and the proper realisation of the protection of victims is simply not going to happen. It's not going to be effective. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Can I now open for comments and questions for members?
Well, it might well have been, but the motivating reason
was the high conviction rate in specifically designated sexual offenders court. And then the issue seemed to me that it came afterwards where the magistrates got into contact. I was on the magistrates commission, but I might be wrong, but they raised that they were concerned. And so we are now in a process where they have been rolled out. We were advised of the budget constraints that would have been rolled out. There's nothing that seems to be not being rolled out as much as they should have. But obviously the concern is that the legislative framework is not in place for 4 years. And that is a massive source of concern, because surely that, again, is undermining us as Parliament. We pass a committee bill, and it must be implemented. I don't remember us discussing it in the 4 years. Maybe we should have. It's an oversight from our part. But it is an issue that we as Parliament need to take earnestly. I raised the issue in other forum in the Finance Committee about the FICA bill that was also. There's a problem if the executive sits on legislation doesn't implement it. So, Chair, I would like to consider these amendments very carefully, because I think there are other ways of dealing with the problem of the word exclusivity. I'm just at first glance not in favour of removing the word exclusive. I think that we as a committee have pushed this, because what message are we sending out about sexual offences? And I think that the overriding reason here is magistrates that don't want to sit and hear these matters. And so we in the Magistrates Commission, when I was there, said, well, let's have wellness programs for them. Let's have rotation. But what about the victims of the crimes? What about the sexual victims, the rape victims? Surely they are entitled to the best possible courts in the quickest possible scheme of things. So I'd like you to unpack the proposed amendments because this will be our only opportunity that we have. How would that particularly, and let's also appreciate Advocate Bronwyn Fiffy here, who was an expert, headed the sexual offences courts previously at Wynberg, has got that experience as well. She's now here in a different capacity. But please indicate to me, from your experience there, that it is so, surely. And that was, I'm sure you argued it before, that specialised sexual offences courts are the best way to go. And we can't have magistrates that aren't prepared to sit on it. And it's a very simple issue for me at the end of the day. But please unpack the proposed amendment that will deal with the concerns. The first concern related to where you have a perpetrator who's charged with a sexual offence, you might also have murder attached to it, and now it's exclusive. There's a proposed amendment there. And then the discretion of the DPP. And where we have had, I remember the NPA giving us reports about the statistics of the designated specialised courts, 96% conviction rate, the hybrid courts, much lower. Deputy Minister, am I wrong? I'm trying to, so that is the fact. And what message would we be sending out to the public if we were to pass this, where we've got that knowledge that specialised sexual offences courts do work? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Sir. I'm sorry about the sensitivity of this court and wonder whether this is going to be, whatever is a problem, will be sorted out by continuing to and fro with legislation. Maybe we need engagement, public engagement, which can be led by the Department of Justice. Not going back to the drawing board so that, the sector starts looking at this problem and making some suggestions of what needs to happen. You can't force a magistrate that does not want to do sexual offences of keeping such matters. It's also still not going to help them because of the sensitivity of these cases. That's my thinking. You can tell me otherwise. Something to get somebody who is ready and sensitive enough to deal with some of these matters, or get somebody to actually have to do it anyway because they've got to do it, when in actual fact there's a whole sector of people who are actually who have been violated or sexually abused, who are looking up on this person to actually help to address their matters. Honorable Mateus, you had your hand up, and then Honorable Griesenbach. Honorable Hon, are you having your hand up? And Honorable Bumbo.
Madam Chair, what really disturbs most is the what the Deputy Minister raises here, SAR, on the basis of their observation and daily interaction with magistrates. That some magistrates are unwilling to decide what such a matter. That really disturbs in the first place why they choose to become judicial officers. Their work is to preside on any matter that is brought before the courts. So it's a matter of professional and ethical conduct. So it should not even arise as a factor or as a consideration. The choice perhaps that we've got to look at here is what best model of sexual offences court can work for our country and society, given the limited resources, but in that as well, we must ensure that the rights of those that are violently sexually abused are protected, balancing that of course with the right of the accused persons to be viewed as innocent until proven guilty. But the scale must always be in favor of victims. I'm raising this mindful of the fact that there are instances where people are accused of rape when they are not. They are wrongly accused of rape. But be as it may, the balance here and the biasness should be in attempts to address the legacy of the court. And that legacy weighted heavily over women. And to a certain extent to children, because of that legacy of patriarchal patriarchal past, the dominance and exploitation of women by men. I think it's important that we consider this. And if I'm listening to the argument here, which favors an exclusive model of sexual offences case courts, it's important that amendments which arise or emerge out of this process favor that model of an exclusive court system that deals exclusively with sexual offences. And government must get out of its way, do everything possible, Deputy Minister, that such is provided for, human resources mobilized, and capital is also mobilized, and society is broadly mobilized around that. If a hybrid model cannot work on the basis of little attention which is likely to be paid or to be given to dealing with such sexual offenses as they arise, let's recognize the history of our past of men exploitation over women, and we must intervene decisively to bring that to an end. Men who are accused or suspected of sexual offences, they must feel the heat.
Thank you, Honourable Mateus. Honourable Friedenbach.
Thank you. Firstly, I align myself fully with both the Honourable Swart and the Honourable Matthias. The Sexual Offences Court were hugely successful, and they provided the environment where such matters could be tried in a civilized fashion for everybody concerned, the victims, the accused, and provided a really good conviction rate. They were hugely successful. They didn't die out because magistrates didn't feel like listening to those matters. They died out because those courts were actively dismantled against the advice of the people who were involved in those matters, against the advice of the people who ran that unit, and against the advice of most of the prosecutors in the NTA. They were actively dismantled. There's no such thing as they died out because magistrates didn't want to listen to it. And in any event, that's a nonsense concept. Magistrates can't pick and choose what matters they'd like to listen to. If they find it traumatic, well, yes, I'm sure they do. So do the prosecutors. So do the advocates who have to defend them. Everybody finds it traumatic. Nobody enjoys it. It's not the kind of subject matter that you enjoy. It's so it must be done. Are you going to say to women, men, children who get raped, sorry, we don't like this kind of bloody mess, and so we're not going to do it? That's nonsense. We can't do that. What are you going to then say? I don't like being murdered, so we won't try those either. I really don't really much like adding, so let's not do any commercial matters. It's nonsense. It must be done. There's no such thing. Advocates don't get a choice about who they defend. They must defend all comers. If they're available, they'll state the case. They don't have to like the subject matter. It's absolutely nonsense. Magistrates are employed to do a job. If they find they can't do the job, well, find another job. If they don't want to do sexual offences matters all the time, that's perfectly understandable, but you can rotate. But magistrates are lawyers. They're professional people. They've got to do what comes before them. But I really want to align myself with the Honourable Spoke. If we don't have courts that are exclusively reserved for sexual offences, then we might as well not bother. Because as soon as you have a hybrid court, as has been set out here, you dilute the effectivity of that court. And eventually, you find yourself only getting onto the roll maybe once or twice a week, and later on once or twice a month. Because the court becomes so bogged down with partnered matters and other matters that it's completely and utterly ineffectual, and it's a complete and utter waste of money. So we need to find a way of dealing with the Section 37 that retains the exclusivity of those courts. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Breedenbach. I'm getting worried because now we're actually tracing what was actually put before us as the background to this that we discussed. You're saying that these courts were dismantled, actively dismantled, and this is of course not the information that has been provided to us by the department. So I don't know what we, on what basis now, we're actually putting our discussion. Deputy Minister.
Maybe some of the officials, I think Mr. Robertson wants to say something, but let me just, from my side, from being on the committee, and at that time, Honourable Breitenbach was in the NPA. The issue came up, Mr. Swart, you may remember, Chief Justice Norwood had a colloquium on issues relating to the criminal justice system. The issue was raised there about why are the sexual offences courts shutting down. And the issue was raised there, I think, by the prosecutors. I mean, Ms. Thirdy was in the NPA at that point, that it was the magistrates who were not wanting to hear the cases. So this issue about the department, Honourable Breitenbach can please provide evidence to that effect. I don't know if Ms. Thirdy remembers the issue, but you know, the issue there, I was there, you were there, Mr. Swartz, Ms. Breitenbach wasn't there, was that it was the magistrates who were not keen. Let me just stress that the continuation of sexual offences courts, which provide special facilities, will continue. So it's not about saying we're not continuing with that. The issue is solely around the question, should they hear only sexual offences, or should they also be able to hear other matters? And the point we are raising, I mean, if you look at the list of sexual offences courts on the departmental website, it will indicate where they are and which ones are only deal with sexual offences and which ones are hybrids and can have other matters on the roll. You will invariably find the bigger centres will have the exclusive sexual offences courts, and the smaller places will be hybrid. And that is on a resource issue and a number of sexual offences cases. So let's also get it clear, we're not talking about whether we have sexual offences courts or not. We continue with the program of revamping the courts, courtrooms to be able to be suitable to hear sexual offences cases. It's a question only of the word exclusive and whether they are able to have other matters on the roll or not. And that would depend on the number of cases. To Honourable Bongo, I opened a sexual offences court at Tonga. I would doubt that they would be that they would have enough sexual offences cases to only hear sexual offences matters. But in that courtroom, there's then the facilities for the complainants to sit in another room and watch the proceedings, for the evidence to be led, for intermediaries, all those kinds of things. So it's not about do we have sexual offences courts or don't we do. It's a question of, given our limited resources, can we have courtrooms that are only dealing with sexual offences matters, or can they deal with other matters as well? And this, as I said, it's you know, if this was so important that there's a legal framework, then to Ms. Pithy, you were on the Matsos team. Wasn't in the Matsos report. Was it? Where is it?
It's in the Matsos report.
Then why wasn't it put into legislation? Why wasn't it put into the legislation that came from the department? But anyway, Mr. Robertson wanted to add to you, Chair.
The current section, if you read 55.1a, insofar as it relates to the word exclusive, to say that you see that a current clause of protection, it actually provides that the minister must designate a court as a sexual offences court. That means if the minister designates Pretoria Magistrates Court as a sexual offences court, no Pretoria Magistrates Court can only hear sexual offences cases. I believe that's quite clear if you look at that section. The problem is that provision were not made to designate a courtroom at a specific centre to deal with sexual offences. Neither does the name. Even if we take exclusive out of that section, and we'll see that the current section provides that the court must be established that will have jurisdiction to hear sexual offences, that has bearing on the sexual offence, and certain offences that which the public prosecutions decide must be tried together with a sexual offence or the person that's arranged in front of that court. That clause actually sets out jurisdiction of the Sexual Offences Court. I believe in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act, if jurisdiction is given to a specific court to only try certain category of cases, the accused can actually stand up if you put a house breaking case before that court. It's the same in terms of Section 102 of the Criminal Procedure Act, I object to the jurisdiction of that court. That court doesn't have necessary jurisdiction here as in cases. So my submission is the current section preserve exclusivity in respect of a court to hear sexual offences. The big problem is obviously resources. We get a big centre like Johannesburg where a fully fledged sexual offences court or sexual offences courts can be established. So the problem is, let's take the East Rand Springs. You cannot establish a free-fledged sexual offences court for Springs. It's probably a four or five sexual offences cases on the roll. And it's impossible to establish a court that sits the whole day just hearing sexual offences cases. The current section makes provision for flexibility. Obviously, sexual offences courts can be established in terms of the clause as amended, but it also leaves leeway that courts can be established, and if they sit as a sexual offences court, they must, within their jurisdiction, only concentrate on sexual offences that's brought before them. So my submission is that it's not necessary to preserve or keep in the word exclusive in the current section. The only objection that was raised against this whole section relates to the removal of the word exclusive. So my submission is that the current clause preserve exclusivity in respect of courts that sits as sexual offences court. You cannot bring other case before that court unless it falls within the jurisdiction of that court as set out in the amended 55A1, the items 1, 2, and 3. So that actually preserves exclusivity in respect of sexual offences.
Chair, can I just in addition on the one point of the Matsos report that Ms. Pithy was part of the task team, and it reads under the executive summary on page 18, the task team that would include Ms. Pithy makes the following recommendations, namely one, that in view of the findings listed above, the sexual offences courts must be re-established either as the sexual offences courts or the hybrid sexual offences courts. So that is what the task team found. So I'm not sure why they do basically go on to say, look, it's preferable to have, which we agree it's preferable to have, permanent sexual offences courts, not hybrid. So that's a resource issue. But the Matsos team, task team of which Ms. Pithy was part of, found re-establishment either as sexual offences or as hybrid.
Can I just make a comment?
Exhausted, it does
does not necessarily mean that you will have a hybrid system if that magistrate in the afternoon deal with postponements or whatever, traffic call, additional maintenance matters. Isn't the issue of a hybrid system the fact that you can have a fraud case now, then a murder, then a rape? And if that is problematic and the research shows that that has a negative impact on both conviction rates and the impact on the victims of sexual offences, then the solution really is quite simple. Exclusive sexual offences courts and proper court management. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable
Bonsai.
Honourable
Bonsai.
Thank you.
I think we've had the presentation, by the presenters, and thanks for the presentation. Assist us to think deep as legislators. But I also listened very carefully to the submission by both the Deputy Minister, Honorable Swab, and the Honorable Advisor from the Department. I think from this presentation and all the submissions, I'm tempted to think that this amendment is further assisting us. I sympathize with what Honorable Matthias has said, but if we were to have a court that is dealing with an exclusive jurisdiction, it could not be a case like one size fits all. Then we need to know how many cases are appearing in that particular area. But if it's exclusive and it's compelling that it's exclusive, we're going to figure out a problem when in an area where there is only one matter of a sexual offense, then we may not be able to deal with it properly. And I actually agree with Breitenberg when she says magistrates must do the work. Whether the work is, whether it's in the morning, it's in the afternoon, whether they like or they don't like, but they must do the work. So I think this amendment is assisting us to broaden the scope, to widen the scope of the jurisdiction itself. Because we do not want to go to court and somebody raises either it's a special plea to say they don't run a jurisdiction. This is not a court of exclusive jurisdiction for sexual offences. So I think we must just begin to persuade each other to say this one widen the scope. Any court must be able to hear any matter that comes before the court. Today may be rape, tomorrow it's assault, the other day sexual offences. So that we don't have people who are designed specifically to deal with only sexual offences. It will create problems if we use an exclusive jurisdiction because it also deals with the matters of resources. I intentionally refer to the minister, to the deputy minister and the sexual offences court that he has opened in Donga, in Bumala. I think he's also saying himself that court may not hear more than, in a week I'm sure they may hear how many cases, less than four. Because again in that area you also have these traditional leaders where people feel that their issues must be dealt with, they must go to the traditional leader to try to resolve these issues in terms of a restorative justice system. So if we're able to say there must be a courtroom specifically provided in that court jurisdiction, then it is going to be assisting in terms of taking this matter forward. But if you say exclusive, then it means we must allocate more resources in every area where there must be a court exclusively for this specific purpose. And in rural areas, I doubt which we may get joy in terms of the way we're dealing with these matters. I'm not exposed to urban areas because I'm not from there. But I think this amendment will go a long way in terms of assisting us broaden and widen the scope of a jurisdiction. Because here we're dealing with a matter of a jurisdiction. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Pumba.
I think Honorable Pumba will get on well.
Promise that the Minister of Justice made country to roll out sexual offences courts in accordance with the Mazda report, which provided for exclusive courts. Bronwyn.
Later, if you want to a second bite, but let's allow them to respond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that my colleague has covered a lot of the issues that the Deputy Minister raised, but I would just like to say that firstly, the report does very clearly recommend exclusive courts as opposed to hybrid courts. The report is peppered with those statements. There was a recognition by the committee, by the MATSO, that resources and the current state of affairs reflected that there were hybrid courts. But then in terms of the progressive realisation of rights, which is contained in our constitution and contained in the sexual offences legislation, the ultimate objective was exclusive sexual offences courts. The blueprint clearly indicates that it is exclusive for the very reason that as soon as you have hybrid courts, it waters down the effectiveness of these courts. The biggest concern that's been raised, I think, by members of the committee, that if you have exclusivity, it excludes matters of being heard in that particular court. I thought that I addressed that in my presentation. So your concern, Honourable Member, around if you have a jurisdiction where there are limited sexual offences that cannot justify full court role 5 days a week, 4 weeks a month, you then have a designation of a court room for a particular time period where you can hear only sexual offences matters. There is actually a way to do this, and if practical application of one's mind and case flow management is the thing that's getting in the way, then that's what needs to be dealt with. The principle of exclusivity surely must be upheld, and then one finds the practical implementation of that. The issue of resourcing, if the only issue is resourcing of these courts, I'm really battling to understand that, because you will have, if you have good management, you can make optimal use of those resources, but in a way that is organized to provide the exclusivity for certain periods of time or certain days of the week or in certain formats that will still achieve the objectives of what sexual offences courts are trying to do. In terms of the, as Mr. Swart raised, the current amendment to, so the current bill that is before the committee on the situation where you may have an accused who is accused of more than one offence. I think the current amendment deals with that, and we would support that. So you don't have a situation where you would split charges. I mean, if there is a sexual offence part of the overall offence that's committed, I don't think anyone has a problem with that. It's been dealt with within that, as well as a situation which I think the DPP jurisdiction issue also addresses, where there is a situation where you can use the facilities. You know, that doesn't happen very often. We're not talking about situations where you have a number of cases on a court roll where you would have to use the CCTV systems for a non-sexual offences case. It doesn't happen very often. So it's not something that I would be concerned about at this stage. I don't know if that addresses it. I think the committees and members are addressing all of the issues that they're each raising for each other.
Thank you also for actually taking us through the New Zealand Testing Report outcome. Because it's important for us to actually understand that outcome and the recommendations as to what measures should be put in place when you're actually looking at effectiveness of the sexual offences system. And indeed, I do support the notion that maybe when it's in rural areas, it might be problematic, but if you turn it into a room with specialized facilities, then it manages to actually cater for that. And it will actually take care of also your concern, Honorable Horn, to say that we cannot wholesale establish special offenses court all over the country, because it will then become too expensive. So if we take into breaking the principle of the rule that has been recommended, maybe in a way he then manages to respond to this. We don't have to really conclude this. This is the sensitizing session for members, so that when the bill is coming before us, we already have a clear understanding of the intention of that bill in the background of what already has been promulgated to ensure that we have sexual offences court in South Africa for these matters that are so sensitive. And that's why, therefore, at some point we actually called and said that maybe we need specialized courts for matters of this nature. I can still see there's a lot of empathy. I can see Deputy Minister, and then I will recognize Honorable Bongo, Honorable Swart, Honorable Mateus, Honorable Murat.
Chair, thanks.
This is the last session.
We are not disputing that we have specialized sexual offences courts with specialized, what are the terms used, specialized infrastructure, specialized personnel, and that give a specialized service. There is no dispute over that. Okay? The issue is around, there's only one issue in dispute, and that is the use of the word exclusive. That is all. And I do think maybe we must distribute the Matsaw report because, you know, you thank them, Chair, for bringing it to the attention, but the copy I've got in front of me on the website, the task team makes the following recommendations, namely that, one, in view of the findings listed above, the sexual offences courts must be re-established either as the sexual offences courts or the hybrid sexual offences courts. So I don't think they should, you know, obviously we would love dedicated is not the right word, we would like exclusive sexual offences courts. We would like that. But
at least what's written there.
But the Matsaw team recognises the fact that hybrid sexual offences courts may be established in court buildings where space is a serious challenge. A hybrid sexual offences court is defined as a regional court dedicated to the adjudication of sexual offences cases in a specific area. It is a court which is established to give priority to sexual offences cases while permitted to deal with other cases. And it must be noted that hybrid sexual offences court is an interim measure. So it's basically a resource issue. I would suggest, Chair, that maybe you should invite the regional court presidents, because the issue of case flow management is a issue belonging to the judiciary. So let the regional court presidents, because these are all regional court cases, come and discuss, engage with them on it, and I would suggest you invite the three organizations to participate in that. Because we can't define what's on the roll. My problem with what Ms. Pippi has said is that you can say that, look, on Wednesday in Tonga, you're going to have a sexual offences court, Wednesday morning, the afternoon can be for something else. You've only got one sexual offences matter that's ready for trial, you put it on the roll. You come to court and the accused is not well, or the accused's legal representative is not well, or something, there are so many actors in a court case. Something's gone wrong, the case can't proceed. And then you can't use that courtroom until the afternoon. Whereas if you can put other matters on the roll, it means that you can, but let the regional court presidents engage with you on that. So I really would suggest that you invite them. They have a regional, there are 9 regional court presidents, one for each province. They've got a forum, they can send one or two people. If you look at where we've got hybrids and where we've got full courts, it's the bigger buildings. So Wynberg, there's a proper sexual offences court. But if you take, for example, Mthatha, we have a huge problem of space in that magistrate's court. We don't have enough courtrooms, and we can't build up, and it's a huge problem. So there isn't even a hybrid one there. But what we'd like to do is put in so at least some facilities can be given. So it depends to some extent. You'll see it's mainly the rural areas where there are hybrids. And the bigger areas, the urban areas or the bigger courtrooms where there are where it's exclusive. But I would say, because this is a scheduling matter, and we don't from the ministry side, the department side, we don't deal with case flow management, invite the regional court presidents, engage with them, invite the organizations to come too. I mean, I think we are all committed, I would hope, to ensuring that sexual offenses are dealt with. And I do think the implications that we're wanting to drop the word exclusive is an indication that we don't care. I think that is a bit unfortunate. But that would be my suggestion, Chair. We're talking about one word, but I would suggest you invite the regional court presidents to explain what they think of it. Thank you.
What is good is that what I hear is that their prices are not actually tied in court. As you've indicated, that in every court in actually cases, there will be hybrid courts where space is a challenge. And before that, you actually say that there will be establishment of sexual offences courts or hybrid courts. But maybe it's because nothing else was written after that in the event this sentence is happening. I think it's how this whole thing is written, and then it actually then opens itself up for different interpretations. But what I hear in Christ is saying is that they are not against the establishment of the hybrid court, where there is a challenge. Am I right?
can I just clarify, Chairman? Sir, we're saying that the aim should not be hybrid courts. If we remove the word exclusively, then we say we are aiming for courts that can have a mixed role, right? If you say we want exclusive sexual offences courts, that's the message that's sent, and the interpretation is we want exclusive sexual offences courts. We realise that there may be resource constraints, infrastructure constraints, and therefore interim courts or hybrid courts was recognized as an interim measure, and we say that exclusive courts can be run in such a way that it still maximizes court time. But to remove the word exclusively, and it is just a word, but it's a word that carries a lot of importance, is to say we are happy with hybrid courts. We are not going to aim for anything more, although we are very aware that that was the clear recommendation, and if we apply our minds to the report, we'll see that the reasons for the exclusivity were set out very clearly.
Can I just quickly respond? This is a law, okay? It's what has to be implemented. So, you know, the difficulty with the word exclusive is the minister may designate a sexual offence, a place that is going to be used exclusively. That's what we want to change, to say that, to drop the word exclusive, so that the law, which is what must be followed, can be implemented. That doesn't mean that we don't want to strive for exclusive sexual offences courts. But I think, with respect, I think there's a confusion between aspirations and law. And the law must be implemented as it is. So I, you know, the committee could, if the committee accepts the amendment, could stress in its report that we want more, we want exclusive, and it depends also on how much money you give us. So give us more money, we can make more exclusive courts.
But I should say that it's not about aspirations, it's about lettering. So, it's not lettering.
Those courts, even though they are on paper, excuse the sexual offences court is that those courts are drawing other matters, and those magistrates are reluctant to hear sexual offences matters only, and on that basis they mix those court roles. That's the reality, and that's why we are pushing for a legislative framework that forces those courts to only hear sexual offences matters. In the past, the research that was done in the past and the research that was relied on by the committee, the Matso committee, looked at courts where there were only sexual offences matters on those roles, and that produced the very good results.
Thank you very much. Can I take the opportunity of thanking the crisis for presenting? I know we can talk about this until the sun goes down. A list of speakers. Some more.
Yeah.
You want to have an additional time? This is why I'm saying we can actually take the whole day until sunset. But what is good is that they have an opportunity of coming and presenting before us and trying to sensitize us, because the process finally is going to be in our hands. And what they were trying to do was to articulate their position on the matter, which I think by now we have actually managed to grasp.
Is it not possible for the NGOs to sit with the department and try to discuss this issue? I mean, have you had discussions? To try to discuss where the issues, because there are a number of, we rely on the information that's been given, but we're getting different information. Now we hear that the existing specialized courts are not specialized, they're hybrid. So that's why, is there not a problem, and it's all around the word exclusive. And I know that Deputy Minister, that he's saying, as opposed to advocate number one, and that says we don't need sexual offences courts, the intention is there will be sexual offences courts. With a priority, that is what the amendment says, receive priority, but whether that's not even working in practice at the moment. So is there not a way, and this often happens in the past, that the department sits with the submitters and says, well, let's try to find, practically this is what the way we've got the financial constraints. But there's a very strong political thing here, Chair. We need to know there'll be a very strong political sensitivity around this issue. That's massive. That's why the committee passed the bill. That's why it passed the bill.
Thank you,
Mr. Roberts, what you see, because I need to understand legally what he was saying, and maybe you could prepare a document for it. Because you were saying, even if you take the word out, it's still exclusive. You know, so we need to get a document on that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Sons. I like the idea of suggesting that maybe it's slowly the department, and to make it easier for us. We have time to sit down, give each other information. By the time it comes here, we all are on the same page with the information that you're giving to us.
Jay, look, we are more than happy to engage. We don't have to lobby us. We can engage with them. The problem is that the missing actor, Mr. Swart, are the regional court magistrates, because they're independent and they deal with case flow management. So that's why I was making the recommendation.
Aren't they? Yeah. So they've got the opportunity to make public submissions. They chose not to.
But so that's why we're suggesting,
that's
Chair,
how we are
that,
concluding
yeah,
it.
That you may want to call them, let the committee engage with them, invite Red Crisis, and
so what should happen is, by the time we call them, at least we will know that you will have engaged with the department, and you will be coming here with some form of understanding that we will then present to them. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming in for presentation. The meeting is closed.